Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 54 for the week of December 2nd, 2009.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
And I'm Scott Jester.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site I just said really fast that is dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And today we're not actually going off an article.
Nope.
We're going off a trend and a couple new updates that we've seen on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox and almost certainly the Wii one day. Who knows?
Maybe.
I mean, Wii does have a web browser.
It does, unlike the Xbox 360. Burn!
And this update is Facebook integration and Twitter integration into the Xbox, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Facebook integration on the PlayStation 3. And we just think it's such an interesting way to bring in a community that is, you know, large. A lot of people who are video gamers have a lot of different friends. You know, we don't only have a few friends here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of strange thing that I think is interesting to talk about because I think it's a branching out of the community into a larger framework that hasn't really been in before.
Because I feel like people that play video games, the Venn diagram would look like this. You know, like people who play video games and people who use Facebook and Twitter are probably overlap quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Oh, I mean, because everyone uses Facebook.
Well, if someone uses Facebook, it's probably... It's not a foregone conclusion that they also have video game systems, but if someone has video game systems, I feel that it is very likely that they also use Twitter and Facebook and other things.
Yeah, I mean,
like
it's
that.
Just the Web 2.0 mentality, right? Anyone connected to the internet tends to know more about the internet, more about social networking technology and video games.
Yeah.
And the integration for the Xbox, I guess if we want to be specific, allows you to look at your friends' page. It allows you to look at your friends' feeds and your live feed.
Yeah.
It also lets you look at photos. And I believe it lets you update your status.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? Is there anything else?
It does. I mean, you can see pictures. You can see... Facebook is so complicated now.
It's hideous.
I mean...
The website.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is not something that I use all that often.
Mm-hmm.
I've integrated the Twitter with the Facebook now.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm on Facebook. I almost never go on.
It's kind of strange because we both... I mean, we both started using Facebook in the really early years of Facebook. It was called The Facebook when we were using it. Which was weird.
Yeah, and dinosaurs were around.
Roamed the earth. And then as it continued to branch out and went from an academic thing to just a more broadly social thing, they started adding a lot of different features to it. And I've kind of gotten left behind by Facebook. I mean, like, there's so much you can do on Facebook. It's overwhelming.
I agree.
People host huge amounts of photos and videos, and then there's, like, various different kinds of feeds that update.
And yeah, and there's weird like other forms of social groups that I get invites all the time. And
yeah.
There's Facebook games that, again, I'm not very familiar with.
Exactly. And so for me, like looking at the Xbox stuff, because the Xbox stuff was a very pared down in comparison to the web interface of Facebook. All you could do, like you were saying, you could look at your friends, you can look at the status updates and little news items. And you could look at photos. And that's pretty much it. And they used the dashboard graphics to do it. Everything was in boxes, kind of square things that nested.
Yeah. It wasn't a hideous interface. But, I mean, again, if you have an Xbox Live account, go ahead and check it out.
Yeah.
It's completely free. We should say that the PlayStation 3 version is very different.
Yeah.
It actually just incorporates information from your PlayStation 3 into the web version of Facebook. So on my feed, for example, it posted my Uncharted 2 trophies. It will let you share event information, which they haven't really talked about yet.
I'm not sure how that'll be integrated because we haven't played with it enough to see what kind of event information I'll actually share.
And it also lets you show up your purchases on the PlayStation Store.
Your wealth.
all of three things that aren't on the Facebook application for the Xbox.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they took different routes. I wonder if it's maybe a licensing issue.
It could be. Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Xbox's Facebook integration is just a portal to look at Facebook. And the PlayStation's Facebook integration is a way to interact with Facebook, but you can't really navigate it on the PlayStation, unless you want to go to the PlayStation web browser and stuff, which, I mean, why would you want to do that to yourself? But, I mean, it surprises me that the Xbox version seems to draw less data from your game system than the PlayStation version does. Because it seems like Xbox is always more forward-looking in that respect.
Yeah, but I think they are achieving what they want to achieve, and that is keeping you in front of your Xbox. Like, if you want to check your Facebook update between play sessions, yeah, you can just do it.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing that they can, that you can do is you can see people on your Facebook, you can see their gamer tags, and so you can find people that I think it works the other way. You can see people, gamer tags, people who also have the Facebook thing linked, and then you can be friends with them on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's,
and add them. Yeah. I mean, I noticed there were people on there who I hadn't been friends with yet.
Yeah. And so I think that's a really cool feature of it, because it's odd that you wouldn't have... It's going towards a unified online identity for yourself instead of having to micromanage all these little sites.
Yeah.
You're right, which is exactly what Microsoft is going for, right? You never have to leave your Xbox. You can manage your entire profile from this thing.
And the PlayStation 3, to some extent, also connects you to other people, just because they can see that, hey, this guy plays the PlayStation 3 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's been apps for Facebook that have allowed people to look at your gamer score and all that crap.
Well, yeah, you can put like a badge on your website or something that goes through PlayStation.com. It just seems different that the PlayStation would seem to work more with Facebook, like, and not try to incorporate it as a piece of the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because then people don't really have, well, two things, I guess. People don't really have an impetus to stay in front of the PlayStation at all times. And then people don't really have an impetus to kind of look at it as one device.
Yeah.
Like they do with the Xbox.
That's true. But I still think it still serves that purpose of making that one single identity, like putting your gamer identity and incorporating that into even your real life identity, you know, because there's the difference between our online personas and the people we are in real life.
Yeah, that's true.
And we should also say the Xbox has a Twitter app as well, integration, that the PlayStation 3 does not have.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same thing. It lets you look at Twitter and respond to people, and, you know, look at direct messages and whatnot.
I'm kind of surprised that the PlayStation didn't do Twitter, because it seems like it seems like the Twitters are a different kind of... It seems like Twitter is easier to work with, in the sense that I've seen a lot of little programs and tools that people have used the Twitter API to create. And with the resources that you have at a place like Sony, it seems like you could make something pretty quickly that allows you to simply look at status updates, update your own status, and even follow links. Because the thing with the Xbox Twitter is that if someone... something that I use Twitter for a lot is actually posting links, whether it's like...
Same here.
Pimping our own website or just linking to other things.
Squirrel attacks, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we just use Twitter for something... for little throwaway links that we want to share. With the Xbox, since it doesn't have a web browser, it cuts that functionality out of it, which is too bad, because I use Twitter. That's one of the main reasons I use Twitter. And it seems like the PlayStation would be perfect for that, because it has a browser, and the browser isn't great, but it's more than adequate to show you a picture of something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to navigate with it, but if you just want to see a funny picture of a lolcat, it's easy. It'll just launch the browser.
Yeah, it does let you, however, the Xbox version of the Twitter integration, it allows you to tweet automatically certain things, right? It's very similar to the PlayStation 3, where it will automatically tweet whether or not you've just got an achievement playing Uncharted 2 or something.
I didn't know that. I mean, the only time I saw it was when we were looking at it the other day. I think whether or not that is true or not, I think it's a good way to get into exploring whether this is a good idea or not, because there was something that happened with Uncharted 2 specifically. Uncharted 2 was supposed to launch with a way to link your game progress with your Twitter account. And so if you finished a chapter, it would automatically tweet something, or if you got a trophy, it would automatically tweet something. And as I remember, the people that got advanced copies and reviewers, they all started doing this, and then people just got flooded with these ridiculous Uncharted 2 tweets, and there was an outcry saying, "Hey, man, we don't want to hear all this stuff."
Yeah.
And so they disabled it for the launch of the game. There was even a menu in the game that said Twitter updates or whatever.
Which has no function.
And there's no functionality. Yeah. They just turned the switch off.
That's pretty weird.
And people just didn't want to get buried under these obnoxious tweets. So I think that leads us to the question of, are we just over-socializing the game consoles here?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Yes and no. Very diplomatic.
I mean, I agree. I don't want to get that flood of, you know, Joe Schmo is 5% through Uncharted 2. Yeah. Now he's 10%. He just died from a crossbow to the neck. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't make me feel like I'm somehow playing along with them.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't see the purpose in sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think it would be really cool, and you made me think of this when you were talking about the PlayStation 3 having the capabilities to show pictures and whatnot in the web browser, is if I could take screenshots. So while I was playing, I could take a quick screenshot of something that I thought was cool, or me doing something, tweet that as a tweet pic, and then post it immediately without ever having to leave my station.
Mm-hmm.
That could be kind of fun.
But again, then we're left with the unfortunate reality that it would be up to people's self-control to regulate this stuff.
Right, but it's always up to people's self-control. I'm sure that you've added someone on your Twitter who has just posted about them going to themselves to the bathroom and you know what they're eating and every single dream they had last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that
I'm looking at you, Justin Caverne.
Not to say that you know those aren't appropriate at times. But at some point, you say, well, I'm going to follow this person or not follow this person.
Yeah.
If they start posting every single second, everything that they're doing in-game, you just don't follow them.
But that sucks, because then you might miss out on something that is actually worthwhile.
Then tell them a message and say, stop posting your crap to the PlayStation 3. I mean, that's my concern about attaching the Xbox and the PlayStation 3 to my Facebook account.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily want people to know what achievements I'm getting every time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, there's a lot of people in my friends group who don't play video games, who aren't even really friends. They're more of acquaintances.
Yeah.
They certainly don't listen to this podcast.
We call them Facebook friends.
Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And it's a little strange to have them see, wow, George has been playing a lot of video games lately. Like, maybe he's not being as productive. And it's like, maybe you don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people will judge you. People will always judge you on how you spend your time. And with the whole rise of social media, it's just gotten easier and easier to kind of stalk people and make assumptions about how they're spending their days.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's different levels of intimacy between these different social networking groups. And I feel really strongly about video game communities. You know, I think that they're really great, and this is one way to expand that community.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means we're including more people who aren't from this community into our day-to-day activities, how we play video games, how we talk about video games potentially. And, you know, maybe we want it to be a little bit more private. Maybe we don't want people to see it all the time.
Yeah.
In which case, it's optional. Don't integrate it into your Xbox, and don't integrate your PlayStation 3.
Okay. That's fine for this generation, but don't you think that the way things are going, the next console cycle or the next firmware updates, you know, maybe we're talking about a few years into the future here, we're getting to the point where there's no division between where the console ends and where the community begins. So, I mean, what if things launch with mandatory accounts that share things automatically? You know, in order to get things like download games and so forth, you have to give up a certain amount of information. And it just seems like we're moving towards something that is always connected and always on. And I don't think you can really put that genie back in the bottle once it's out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just at the very beginning of this sort of stuff. If a console launched today, it would probably launch with this stuff already in it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to make the choice to put it in or not.
Yeah.
Not to sound like a conspiracy nut or something.
You're terrified of the future.
I mean, it doesn't really seem like
we're all connected.
I mean, people are all connected to a certain extent already, but I feel like this could easily be used as a marketing tool. You know, like right now it's
all of a sudden we start getting tweets from Xbox saying, this new game is out.
Precisely. Yeah. Right now the channel is flowing outward. The information is coming from me out into Twitter or Facebook. I could easily see, and I'm again, you know, not to keep on bashing on Microsoft, but especially with a company like Microsoft, the information starts flowing into me.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's a very legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Again, like we said, Facebook is very complicated. Yeah. I don't really like going on there and being barraged with, hey, check out my garden, or come fucking play this vampire game with me.
Like, well, and now Facebook is just ads. They'll put ads. And it's contextual ads, too. So, like, when you change your status to engaged or something like that, all of a sudden you start seeing wedding ads pop up in your feed and stuff.
Man, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awful.
Oh, yeah. And it starts getting weird because you don't necessarily want to be marketed at that precisely all the time.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. And again, this is very much a top-down approach. I don't know how many people were emailing in Xbox Live and saying, please connect me to Facebook. Please let me tweet on the fly.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, over time, it starts becoming more ubiquitous and starts becoming more in your face. Mm-hmm. I could see it becoming very unappealing.
Mm-hmm. How about the other side? What is the usefulness of this?
Well, again, I think that to some extent, it makes the community stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said,
and when you're talking about this, are you talking about expanding the number of game players there are out there, or are you talking about just making a tighter knit social circle?
Well, both. The tighter knit social circle. Like, you and I are on Twitter, and a lot of the people that we follow and we discuss games with are other people who like what we like, other people who are members of the gaming community at large.
Yeah.
And that's a really valuable resource. I really enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And so that's just one example of a social network giving me a greater connection to people who also appreciate games in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook thing does a very similar thing. I wouldn't be surprised if someone commented on, you know, I got a trophy in Little Big Planet, and they say, hey, I just got the trophy the other day, and, you know, we can share stories.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's also putting our gaming community in people's faces. It's saying, look, we play games. This is an aspect of my social identity and my personal identity, and you can see what I'm doing. And if you want to look into it, if you want to explore those avenues, they're there for you to explore. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find out, well, what's George been playing? Even if you don't like video games, you'll see that. And to some extent, it might legitimize the medium. It might do the opposite and say, look at all these fucking nerds playing all their 8 hours of video games.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, I forget where the term came from. It could have come from Michael Abbott's site or a comment or something like that, but it was game shame.
Yeah.
And so it's like people are coming out of the closet kind of as gamers, and it's still kind of weird. I don't really talk to people. Now that my Twitter is integrated to my Facebook account, people probably understand how into video games I am.
I just did this recently.
Yeah.
And it was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird saying, okay, everyone, not only just that, you know, come and look at my writing to hundreds of people that I don't talk to on a day-to-day basis.
Or our sumptuous voices.
Or,
you know, that's even weirder.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, there's still that little bit of game shame where you say, people are going to see what I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to realize how big of a role it plays in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to judge that because it doesn't play that same role in their life.
Yeah.
You know, if there was integration of another medium, like if I every time a rock climbed, it automatically posted, George climbed so-and-so many rocks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It would still feel as if it's taking a disproportionate amount of their life, you know?
Or in their mind, it is taking a disproportionate amount of your life.
Yeah.
You know, in their mental construction of you.
But that's when I say screw them, right? Like, if they don't, why are they on my friends list anyway then?
To judge you, clearly. To judge me. Yeah. There were some surprises when I linked the Twitter and Facebook thing. Every once in a while, I try to keep my Twitter status updates like a good mix of kind of irreverent stuff with game stuff, with just kind of throwaway links, because I don't want to sound like a one-trick pony to the people who aren't necessarily interested in one thing. And every once in a while I'll tweet about a game or something. I tweeted about trying to figure out if the Grand Theft Auto cell phone had a vibrate mode, and someone commented back on my Facebook profile.
Really?
Saying, hey, I remember that. I don't think it has a vibrate mode. It does vibrate, but you can't just do it on vibrate, which whether or not that's true isn't the point. This is a person that I had no idea even played video games.
Wow. Yeah, it was like some old kindergarten friend
or something? It was some old friend from college, but we never talked about... And we were actually pretty good friends, but we never talked about video games. That just wasn't part of our friendship.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of weird because I was like, wow, like, you know enough about GTA to, like, you know, hazard a guess to this, and you feel like taking the time out of your day to reply to this post.
Yeah, they probably play more games than you would think, specifically because they offered that advice.
Yeah, and that they would think that they'd be into it so much that they would wish to suggest an answer... suggests to me that they actually kind of like playing games, which taught me something new about them.
Yeah, that's cute.
It was weird.
That's adorable, Scott.
I mean, it was kind of like, oh, well, sweet. I don't know. I guess we should have played way more games in college together, even though we didn't.
Yeah, I feel that all the time, though. That brings up a good issue, though, because you mentioned that because your Twitter is connected to your Facebook, mm-hmm. you now kind of changed how you tweet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think that this is going to change how people play games or even the games they buy?
Definitely. Definitely. Because I listen to the Giant Bombcast because it's probably my favorite podcast out there.
Well, for ours, of course.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the foregone conclusion. But they are obsessed with achievement points. And every once in a while, they'll talk about, like, the trade-off. Okay. Oh, should I put in the CSI Miami game and get easy achievement points and then have the shame of having CSI achievement points on my record? And yeah. So like, there's this whole meta game of not only getting achievement points but also sharing them and then the social connotation that certain achievement points have.
Yeah.
And so when you're, you know, it's like the old. I wish I knew the term for this, but the idea that in physics that even the observation of something changes the event.
Yeah.
And so if you're gaming in the public, it's gonna change the way that you play games.
Yeah, I can definitely see myself being a little bit nervous about putting so much time in Hello Kitty, you know, world or whatever, because that's going to be posted to Facebook. Everyone's going to see that George just loves Hello Kitty. He's put in 15 hours on Saturday alone.
But how about the other way? What if you write a post about I don't know, let's pick a game like Modern Warfare 2, and you write about the multiplayer. Someone could take a look at your profile and say, "What? You only play 10 hours in the multiplayer. You are not qualified to write about this." And so it's another level of evaluating people's skill levels and legitimacy in discussing this type of stuff.
Alternatively, you could play with someone online. They mm-hmm. can find your gamer profile and then look up your Facebook.
Yeah.
And find out, you know, where you live. They decide to take you out.
That's only if you're playing Sins of a Soul or Empire. No, EVE Online.
EVE Online.
Yeah, that's right. Only if you're playing EVE Online.
But, you know, it goes into the PlayStation 3's version as well, where, you know, your purchases show up online.
Uh-huh.
So people can start seeing, well, what games is George into? That could be a good thing if they happen to like the games that I'm into.
Yeah.
But it could also be a little bit more revealing than I might like. You know, maybe, you know, what about the one day when PlayStation Network starts carrying, you know, smut porn games or something.
What a glorious day.
But again, like, I could foresee a future in which it's become so integrated that people kind of change how they play to a detriment because they don't want to have themselves perceived in that way. And again, you could say, well, they could always opt out of that, but that opt-out scenario isn't always...
It makes it harder to opt out of things. I mean, they bury that stuff for a good reason. So what you're saying is that in a world where the line between games and life is blurry... Who plays who is the real question.
That's exactly the real question, narrator, sir.
The thing is, even, no matter how crazy this stuff gets, and I think that we're only at the beginning of it, I think it'll still be a while until they work out the kinks and get things running smoothly enough to circumvent the need for either like face-to-face interaction and talking about games. But I mean, it's changing the way, like the metagame that we were talking about earlier. You're not even really, you can face a scenario where to turn on a gaming system is not just to play the game anymore.
Yeah, you're making a social choice.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I open a book, it doesn't reflect on what I'm doing in a broader sense because it's more private.
Unless you're reading Twilight on the public transit.
Yes, I did read that story. Now, games are different from that again. Again, like, watching a movie on Xbox Live through Netflix is not a private thing.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And playing a game is no longer a private thing anymore. I'm not sure I like it all that much, but I'm not so against it that I don't. I think that the benefits might eventually outweigh the kind of change that
it is the dawn of a new day. And whether or not that'll be a good thing is...
But, I mean, regardless, I'll be tweeting about it, so you'll know exactly how I feel. okay, so I guess we'll leave it at that. If you folks want to write in and share your thoughts on the rise of social networks being integrated into games, you can do so at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
You can also leave your comments on this podcast on any of our posts. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings. You could also leave your comments at our Twitter, twitter.com/jalbor. And I think it's twitter.com/adjuster.
Yeah.
And facebook.com/jalbor.
All right, until next time, folks. We'll see you around the interwebs. Bye.